Lights, camera, action.
That's it. Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the month of movies for December 2016. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And what this year I did was I compiled a list of some of the scariest movies of all time.
And I'm going through box sets that I have, and I'm watching those.
And then any other movie we watch, we talk about on this podcast. So December, we'll do a 2016 in review. Also, we did 2015 and 14. This is our third full year of podcasts.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We didn't miss any.
We haven't missed a month, no. So I have less movies than you. So if you want to... I don't think we watched any together. Yeah, we watched two together. Never mind.
Well, yeah, two of them. Well, some of the ones I saw, you saw too. So I think you watched them like last year or the year before. But anyway... The first movie I watched was a movie I got recommended to from a couple people at work, because I was asking people what is a movie they could watch over and over, and one person brought up About Time, and I've never seen it. So one of my other coworkers, Sierra, she lent it to me, so I watched it, and it was really good. In case you don't know what About Time is, it's about this guy who turns 21 and finds out that he can time travel. He goes into a dark area and thinks about where he wants to go in his life. He can't just go wherever in his lifespan. He can go basically redo any mess-ups he does. Like when he's hitting on this girl and then he screws it up, he goes back, tries it again. But it's a love story movie and about him trying to find the love of his life. And... It was really good. I'm trying to figure out what I want to say. Anyway, the plot follows. I can't remember the actor, but it's Rachel McAdams is the woman of interest, and he tries to woo her, and they click like the first time they meet. So they're like, "Oh yeah, this is great." And then he does something, and then it changes it. And she doesn't know who he is. So then he like tries to fix it, and As my coworker says, it kind of shows you what love really is, like willing to give up stuff to, I don't know. Yeah.
To be with somebody?
Yeah. Like someone who you're in love with, you're willing to give up anything for, even time travel pretty much.
Oh, shit.
But I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. I might pick it up if I find it somewhere cheap.
The first movie of the month I watched was lent to me by Mr. Tony Mayer,
who lends a lot of movies.
Ichi the Killer. There it is. Now I want to watch this movie for a long time because I've heard so many crazy things about it. Well, it. Did and didn't live up to my expectations.
It probably would have if you watched it when it came out.
I don't know. Still,
no.
Well, the main movie is about this gang. I think Japanese.
I didn't see it.
I think it's Japanese, but I'll just be safe. I'll say an Asian movie. But there's like this Japanese gang that someone kidnaps their gang leader. And the whole gang's like, fuck, we need to get him back. He better be alive and all stuff like that. You're gonna fucking get him. So they get all riled up about trying to get their gang leader back.
It's the Yakuza.
Yeah, the Yakuza. In case you haven't heard of them. But, so, like, then there's this one guy who's, like, who just loves pain. And like, he's, like, a sadist. No, masochist, sorry. He's, like, a masochist. Like, he just loves... Like, he just loves being hurt and stuff like that. And he's just a nut job. So he's like, I'm going to try to find out who this person is who kidnapped their boss. But then the main character, Ichi, is this really pathetic guy who... you're looking at the prequel. I watched that. That was like an anime prequel. I watched that like years ago. But he, Ichi is the guy who, like, a guy basically just says, hey, go here and take care of these people. And he does. But, like, he's so fucked in the head. Like, it's, like, he's just broken. Like, he'll just, like, go somewhere. Like, at the very beginning of the movie, he's watching someone beat up his girlfriend and he's masturbating outside the window. And you just see, like, the semen dripping and the title comes out of the semen, like, da-da-da. Like, that's the kind of movie you're going into. It's a wacky, weird movie. But it's really long and not a lot happens in it from time to time. But one thing that, the characters are kind of cool and neat and stuff and fun, but it wasn't as great as I was hoping it was going to be because it wasn't that exciting. But the final fight between, like, the blonde dude that you can see, like, he's the blonde guy who's, like, not even Ichi the killer.
But he's
like,
not?
No, he's, like, the bad guy, but he's on the cover of the movie and everything, too.
Yeah.
But he's like the badass. He's like, I gotta find this Ichi. I wanna kill him. I wanna fight him. Like, he's gonna give me a lot of pain. But at one point, like, when he finally confronts him, like, Ichi's just like on the ground crying. And he's just like, what's happening? What are you doing? Like, stop it, man. This isn't. Come on. He's just like all disappointed. Like, we have to fight. That part was pretty funny. But I don't know. Because I was one of those that you were unsure of you wanted to watch it, and I was like, I wouldn't say so for you. I gave it was like a 2.5 hour long movie, I think. I don't know. It was all right, but I gave it a 6. That one was on my list for movies to see.
All right, so then last month, I gotta find my list again.
There we go.
Last month I started a box set with the Richard Pryor movies, so I watched 2 of those last month, and I watched the other 2 this month. And last month, those 2 movies were way better than the 2 I watched this month.
Oh, why did I feel it? We already talked about these movies. We talked about it in person.
So last month I watched Bustin' Loose and Brewster's Millions. Those were half the movies on the box set.
Yeah.
Then the other half was Car Wash and Which Way Is Up. So Car Wash is very disappointing. Because the DVD cover, it shows Richard Pryor and George Carlin. And you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But they're minor characters in it, and they're in it for less than 5 minutes each. And I was very disappointed. Like, George Carlin's character was hilarious, but he was hardly in it. He played a taxi cab driver who dropped somebody off at the car wash. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
I think I remember hearing someone talk about how bad this movie was when, like, George Carlin died.
Let me see. I'm just typing in so I can. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole movie takes place at a car wash, and it's is this gonna work? Sorry. I've got an 86 on here.
Oh.
But it's like all these black people. I don't mean to sound racist, but all these black people are working at a car wash. It's not an automated one. It's, you know, hands-on. I don't remember what that's called.
Manual,
whatever. But anyway, it's a car wash that's doing that, and some people are like, why don't you have the automated ones? They're like, no, this has more style, and, you know, there's better whatever. But there's this white guy who's trying to be black, and they all just, like, pull pranks on him. And different people come to get their car washed, and there's, like, a mini little story. Like, this one kid keeps throwing up. So then they're like, oh, we got to clean the car. And they're like, all right, da-da-da. And then he throws up again. They're like, oh. So there's, like, all these little skits, kind of. But the overall plot, I don't know, focuses on one of the guys.
It was a Joel Schumacher movie. He wrote it.
But, I mean, I guess I'm not the demographic for this movie. Yeah, and then Richard Pryor plays this priest guy who everyone worships, and he shows up, and they're polishing his shoes, and he's telling them all these stories and how awesome he is and praying for everybody, and then he collects money from all the people because it's like church. And one of the guys, he's like, this is stupid. But, I wasn't a huge fan of this movie.
The tagline says, hey, it's a 70s thing.
It kind of was a 70s thing, I guess. There's too
so you're saying that it's not your demographic because you're not from the 70s?
Right. I'm not from the 70s, and I'm not a black man. I ended up giving this a 4. 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Wasn't a huge fan of it. I mean, there's parts that were funny, but overall, it wasn't worth it.
Okay.
I'll talk about the other one in the box set.
Okay.
As well, which way is up? This is a weird movie. Richard Pryor plays like a couple different people in the movie, yeah, like him and his dad,
three different roles. Stuff.
But the main character he plays, I'm trying to remember how it started. It started with a whole bunch of people, like, watching a protest going on.
Mm-hmm. Workers' union.
Yeah, these people want to start a workers' union, and they're all trying to find somebody who will be the head of it and all this. And Richard Pryor's character is watching from the top of a ladder, and then the ladder tips over and he falls right in the middle. And they're like, "Oh, this guy is gonna be our voice for the workers' union."
He's so like a Life of Brian situation.
He's like, "Yeah, yeah, I'll do that." And it is a whole. And then there's the bosses of, I don't even know what business it is. Get pissed off because they don't want a union, so then they all get mad at him, and he's just like, "I'm just here, I don't know." And he ends up getting a job in the city, and it goes all over the place. But it seems, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how. I don't know much about the birth of unions and all that stuff.
Just reading the plot summary on IMDb, it's not very specific at all either. It's He says, like, he plays three parts, and his first being a poor orange picker named Leroy Jones, who gets laid off when, by mistake, he joins the workers' union during one of their demonstrations. And then it talks about the company and this and this and this, but they never really say what it is.
Yeah, the whole movie goes by like that. And he ends up going to the city, working for this company, and meets a woman, and he falls in love with her, but he's already married, and his wife's back home by the orange groves and stuff, and she's like, "You can have me, but you can never have sex with your wife again. Otherwise, I'm leaving you." And he's like, "Okay." So then he just has a relationship with her and gets home, and the wife's like, "Oh, I missed you. I want to have sex." He's like, "Oh, I'm so tired."
So how would the other lady know, though?
Because she knew he was married. I don't know.
Wins intuition.
Wins intuition, yes. So it was all over the place too. I gave it a 4.5 because it was slightly better than Car Wash.
Got a and Rotten Tomatoes gave it a
20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay,
which is way lower than the other one with the 86 or something like that, or Car Wash. Yeah, it was 86 for Car Wash. That's crazy. All
right. The next movie I watched this many years ago. Excuse me, probably when it came out. Devil's Backbone. Now, did you watch this?
I didn't watch
it. Another movie lent to us by Tony Mayer. Guillermo.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, I can see it in my head, but it's just like trying to say it in front of people.
It's one I wanted to watch, I just got distracted by TV shows.
Okay, so now, the reason why I watch horror movies this year is because I like horror as a genre, but there are so many bad horror movies. Because they're just shit. And I realized after watching this movie and The Orphanage, I know why all the other movies are shit. It's because these movies, like Devil's Backbone, it has a plot. It has its own story. And then they shove horror into it. It's not saying, like, "Hey, we moved into a house." Like Poltergeist, like the shitty one. Like, "Hey, we moved into a house. What's the plot? It's haunted. Okay, any more plot?" Nope. Just, it's a haunted house. Someone moves into it and it's haunted. That's the plot. This, Devil's Backbone, it takes place during, like, what happens is, right at the very beginning, a boy gets dropped off at, like, Jesus Christ, what's the word I'm trying to think of? It's like a home.
Orphanage?
It's kind of like an orphanage, but, like, for, they just drop the kids off there, and then, like, but it's during, like, to teach him, like, they learn, like, they live there and stuff like that. It's kind of like an orphanage.
Oh, like a school?
Yeah.
Reform school?
That type of thing. But, like, the parents, like, basically just drop them off. And then the people running school are like getting money from the government to try to like we barely are getting any money to feed the children and stuff like this. But in the meantime, there's a war going on, and like the school owners are like shifting like gold to try to like, you know, like get supplies and all this other stuff. Like, so like, they're doing illegal things, but they're trying to do it for the benefit of the kids of the school and stuff. In the meantime, the new kid that just comes in, he's kind of getting picked on by one of the like the more bullied kids, the bigger guys, like, and he finds out shortly after that the reason why, like, the bed that he took over, the space that he's now taking up, used to belong to this other kid who recently ran away, in quotes. But obviously, at the very beginning, we see that he's dead. So the kid gets murdered by somehow. There's a lot of really cool like stuff that happens in the movie that like not really cool in the sense of like that's awesome for a horror movie. It's like it's just some like with the war happening and stuff like that, like you never know who's on what side. And there are some really cool like moments in the movie where I'm like, I did not expect that to happen. That was pretty cool. Oh shit. And like you feel bad and like good and stuff. It's a pretty solid movie. I don't want to give too much away because I think it's a really cool movie. Unfortunately, if people don't like reading movies, it's all in Spanish. So you'd have to read it. But I gave it an 8.5. So I think, I mean, it wasn't scary to me at all, but I realized, because I was talking to my coworker, Eric, who's really like horror movies, and he hates when they go, hey, let's make a horror movie. What's scary? Children. All right, let's make children yeah. are the ghosts. But then watching it from this point of view, where like the main character is a child, so you see his point of view and all his friends' point of view, and then you see a ghost as a child, it's like when you're in the mindset of a kid, seeing a ghost kid is so much more scary because you're like, that could be me. You know, it's not like, oh, we're an adult. There's a kid walking around. Oh, spooky, ooky, spooky, scary. It's where it's, but spooky, it's, spirit. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, like this movie did a good job of being like, oh shit, you, like, I replaced you. Like, I could be dead next. Why? You know, what's the like, it's kind of spooky in that aspect. But yeah, that was Backbone, 8.5.
All right.
The next movies I watched with you.
Okay. The next box set I watched, or collection I should say, was a Tom Hanks comedy set. So it had three comedy Tom Hanks movies. The first one I watched on it was Money Pit, which I think you watched not too long ago.
Like maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, it was
before the podcast.
Oh, it was before the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I picked up almost the same box set as you.
Yeah.
But it was only two movies. And yours had three on it.
Yeah.
So you lucked out. Which I wanted to see the third movie on that box set too, which I didn't. But I'm like, I'm not going to buy it because I haven't seen it like since I was like four.
Right. So, yeah, the first movie on this box set was The Money Pit with Shelley Long. That's what I was trying to. I ran to get the box because I couldn't remember her name.
From Cheers, Diane.
So, Tom Hanks and Shelley Long are dating, and they decide they want to get a house together. Or no, they want her ex-husband is coming home, and that's whose apartment they were staying in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, we got to find a new place to live. So they're going to find an apartment, and they can't find an apartment they can afford. And eventually this guy's like, yeah, there's this house you could buy really cheap. And he convinces them to buy it. And they're like, yeah. So he borrows all the money he can to put into this house and purchase it. And they're like, yeah, it's got a few things that need fixed up, but that's all right. And as they move in, things start falling apart. Like, the entire staircase of the second floor falls down.
Yeah.
Water starts spraying from random things, and all kinds of crazy things start happening.
He falls to the floor.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, we'll hire a contractor to fix some of this stuff. But apparently the lady who had the house before All the contractors did not want to deal with her. So once he tells them the address, they're like, nope. And they hang up on him. So he can't get anybody to fix the house because everyone's like, yeah, this is a lost cause. But apparently, eventually he finds a guy who's like, yeah, I'll help you. And he's like, do you know someone who knows how to do this? And they're like, okay, yeah. So this one guy finds all these people to help and eventually fix up the house and blah, blah, blah. It had very funny moments.
There's some really slapsticky moments in that movie.
Right. I was shocked when the whole stairwell just fell down. I was like, holy cow. I thought it was a pretty entertaining movie. I know you watched it a while ago, but I gave it a 7.5. Okay. I thought it was a decent movie. And the other two movies on this, I'm just going to mention right away, are The Burbs and Dragnet.
Yeah.
So you never saw Dragnet.
The box set, or the collection, whatever I bought was, it was Burbs and Money Pit. But I mainly bought it for Burbs.
Yeah, Burbs is a great movie.
I like it.
So I'll talk about that one then.
Yeah.
The Burbs is like a suburban neighborhood, and a bunch of people just sitting around on their patio telling stories and, you know, like in suburbia, get snoopy about what their neighbors are.
Snoopy
and,
neighbors.
So they're like, oh, someone moved in that house a couple months ago. Yeah, I never seen them. We should introduce ourselves. Okay. And they go over there, and the people inside the house are just really weird.
It's creepy.
Yeah. And they're like, the neighbor that we, like, our neighbor we haven't seen in a long time disappeared when these people moved in, and they start assuming.
Oh, the doctor?
Yeah. They start assuming that these people that are really creepy and don't show themselves, they believe they're murderers. Mm-hmm. So then they try sneaking into the house when they go away for the night or something and try to, like, find proof that they're murderers in the house. I mean, it has a ton of people in it. It has Carrie Fisher, Tom Hanks, Corey.
Oh, my God. We watched some bad unintentional movies this month.
Bruce Dern? I don't know who that is offhand.
That's the guy. Was he the army guy?
I don't know.
Fuck if I remember. That was one I don't of know names.
Top build cast guys. Yeah, the army guy.
All right.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher, Corey Feldman. I like the movie a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
I gave it an 8.5. Yeah, I gave it an 8.5, which is the strongest movie in this box set.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, apparently Rotten Tomatoes does not like these movies. This one got a 47%.
To be fair, I could see that movie not being great.
Yeah, apparently it did horrible in the box office when it came out.
We watched it as kids and it was hilarious as a kid. I could see this easily being because we watched it as a kid.
Yeah, but everyone I talked about Burbs with, they're like, that movie's awesome. It was one of those movies that did horrible at the box office, but came like a cult classic film.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that don't even know what that is. Most people go, like, oh, you know the Burbs, cool.
Yeah, because when Carrie Fisher died, I was like, I just watched the Burbs a week ago.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
A week before she died.
Well, I remember when Robin Williams died, like week or two before I watched World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, his son killed himself by hanging him.
He had all these M40% on that box set.
Unfortunately, speaking of, the next movie we watched was a Key and Peele movie.
Oh, yeah, Keanu.
Keanu, which the reason why I say unfortunately is because I think a week after we watched that, they mentioned George Michael a lot in the movie.
And we're like, did George Michael? I thought George Michael was dead. No, he's not. And then he dies a week later. I'm like, oh, shit.
Whoops. We're sorry, Michael family.
So who do you want to see die in 2017? We'll watch their movies.
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of movies. Get some Pauly Shore movies if you want. No, I'm just kidding. And there's Keanu. It's a ridiculous movie because it's very serious, but funny at the same time.
Cheddar.
Yeah. But anyways, what happens is there's these drug dealers, and gang people, but these two people at the very beginning, they bust into this gang making drugs and selling drugs, bust in and shoot the fuck out of everybody. And the guy who, like, the gang member leader was, like, petting this little kitten. And the kitten runs off. And then, I think it's Peel.
Yeah, Peel.
Peel is his character. Which I can't remember his real name. His character's name, I mean. Francis?
Rel Williams?
Probably. But, like, yeah, he finds the cat, and he's going through a horrible breakup. So he's like, oh, this is my meaning in life type thing.
Yeah, his girlfriend breaks up with him, and then he finds a cat and makes him happy.
Yeah, and he's just obsessed with it.
And he takes pictures of the cat reenacting movies, yes, posters.
That'd be an awesome calendar.
This is a great idea. You're going to make these calendars. No, these are just for me.
These are just for me. The Shining. Eventually, his house gets broken into. Someone steals a cat. And then, him and his friend, who's, like, that he has a really, like, Lance, what's his name?
Clarence,
close. Like, he's, like, just really, like, well, they actually make fun of themselves because, like, they're really, quote-unquote, white black guys.
Yeah.
Because they're just, like, very just common. And, like honestly, Clarence is very, like, milquetoast. Like, oh, yeah, this is how I do I live in a suburban neighborhood, and I do this, and I deliver the paper, and, like, whatever, some of that. So his wife's like, go have fun. You know, I'll be away. You two go have fun. So they end up, like, infiltrating a gang called the Blips.
That's right, the Blips.
Because they want to get rid of the Bloods and the Crips, so they're called the Blips. So they sort of infiltrate this gang because they find out that the cat was stolen by that gang. And then, and then they end up, like, having to try to prove that they're, you know, real gangsters and stuff like that. But it has some pretty funny moments. It wasn't amazing, but it had some funny moments. And then by the end, it kind of just felt very generic. But, and I actually mentioned this during the movie, like, it felt like it was an improv scene that just went on too long.
It did feel like a very extended Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah. Shock Tank. Tectonic.
It was funnier than I thought. I went into it not expecting much because I'm like, this is, from all the people I knew that saw it, said it wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I want to watch it because revolving around a cat that just screams.
I can't even do it.
I thought it was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting much, but it was good.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.
So then the last movie in my box set was Dragnet, what just happened? Which stars Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks as cops. What?
I saw that picture on there, and I thought it from this angle, looked like he was trying to dress up like He-Man on the right. I didn't realize it was Dan Aykroyd. Sorry.
Dan Aykroyd's character plays Joe Friday, which I've never watched the TV series, which I'm assuming he plays a character similar to the show. Sergeant Joe Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets a new partner, or a partner. I don't think he had a partner. So now he has a partner. And the new partner is Tom Hanks's characters, who is a womanizer and is just an off-the-cuff kind of, you know, a crazy buddy cop movie. But Dan Aykroyd's character is very straight and narrow. He's like a virgin and never thinks about sex and all that stuff, so he's the complete opposite of Tom Hanks's character. And they're solving multiple crimes through the city and start realizing a lot of them are connected. Because they're seeing the word pagan printed in places, and they realize there's a cult. So they go undercover to get into the cult and find out what's going on. But there's some high figures in there and stuff like that. So they're calling people out, and their sergeant or whatever, captain. I don't know much about that stuff. But,
ranks.
The ranks. And they tell them that, you guys have to stop snooping. Those people have nothing to do with it. You have no proof. And eventually, like, Joe Friday gets suspended and tries to do the stuff while not being a cop. But there's some crazy stuff that happens things getting stolen.
Oh shit.
And Scott was talking about the giant snake. He remembers
I remember it was about giant snake.
Yeah, because they get thrown into a pit because they're trying to save the virgin getting sacrificed.
So I was just looking at the show and the movie on IMDb.
Yeah.
The guy who played, because it was Joe Friday, and then a guy played...
Pat Strubeck is the Tom Hanks character.
But there's a guy who played Officer Bill Gannon in the original series.
Okay.
He was in the movie as Gannon.
Huh.
And he was also in MASH and stuff. Okay. That dude.
So he just passed away.
2011, yeah. Oh, okay. So don't worry, we're safe.
No, there was a guy from MASH that just died. Not
yeah, like yeah, New Year's. He was the priest, though, I think.
Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Yep, New Year's Eve.
But I enjoyed the movie. I ended up giving Dragnet a 7.5.
Okay.
It was on par with the Money Pit.
So speaking of Money Pit, not Money Pit, Burbs. The next movie we watched, because it was Christmas, and it's directed by the same guy who did Burbs, was Gremlins. One of my favorite children's movies, and still one of my favorite Christmas movies. In case you don't know what Gremlins is, it's amazing. All right, the next movie... No, I'm just kidding. It's about a guy who gives his son this little creature he finds in Chinatown to his son Billy. He's like, oh, yeah, three rules. Don't feed him after midnight. Don't get him wet. Don't get him in the sunlight. But, of course, due to, you know, conflict and plot summaries, the little guys, he gets wet, and they...
The little guys.
The little guy, the Gizmo, gets wet Mogwai. And multiplies into other... Into little, like, Mogwai, and they're not as nice as Gizmo... So eventually they fool Billy, like unplugging, like ripping apart his like alarm clock and tricking him, like, hey, feed us. And then he feeds them after midnight. They turn into gremlins. And then they just cause all sorts of havoc on the town. Now, as a kid, this movie was fantastic because it's just so silly and weird gremlins and stuff. And even now, like watching, like, there's always so many, like, because there's a scene where they're in a bar and there's just gremlins everywhere. For, like, a good 5 minutes straight of just doing wacky, like, weird things. And even now, I'm like, God damn it. I didn't see that in the back, or I didn't see that part. Or I'm just waiting, like, this part. Oh, just wait. The little puppet thing comes out. I'm like, I don't know. It's such a fun movie. And the music soundtrack is amazing. God damn it. Like, just the song. Dun, 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 dun. Like, I was, I like the movie a lot.
Yeah, I do, too.
Phoebe Cates is amazing in that movie. I should have watched the second one right afterwards, but maybe next year. Because I know they do a lot of callbacks from the first movie, like jokes about stuff, and yeah. But not a good movie, apparently, to watch if you your kid's still believes in Santa Claus. Because she kind of mentions why he's not real. It's funny.
Well, not really. I mean, it's more of her dad dresses up as Santa.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the real Santa.
True.
That's why she doesn't believe in Santa anymore. It's because her dad's
dead. Yeah. I gave the movie 9.5.
I gave it a 9.
That's like one of my like top 10 movies of all time for me is Gremlins. The next movie I had on my list was it wasn't a Guillermo del Toro movie, but he presented it. So I think he like executive produced it or something, called The Orphanage. Now, I knew nothing about this movie going into it, except for there's an orphanage involved, which is, yeah. So, again, this is one of those movies where, like, I liked it because it wasn't just, hey, they moved into this house and it's haunted. There's, like, more of, like, a weird thing going, I don't know. Anyways, so what happens is at the very beginning of the movie, you see a bunch of little orphans and stuff like that, and, like, the lady taking care of, like, the place is like, oh, this... She's, like, talking to one of her, like, other coworkers. Like, she's getting adopted soon. So she's going to have to say goodbye to her friends and whatnot. And you see the girl, like, playing these games with the kids in the yard and stuff like that. Like, they're playing, like, the one where they, like... We call it red light, green light. But...
Yeah.
Hers... Like, she, like... She faces the wall and says, one, two, three, knocking on the wall. And then she turns. Or something like that. And then, like, they have to stop moving. And, like, just the playing games and stuff like that. And then, like, she get then the people come and take her, and she gets adopted off. And then it's present day, and she bought the house that her, the orphanage used to be, like, because it, like, basically is not being used anymore. So she bought the house because she, her and her husband, they wanted to make their own orphanage for special needs children. Did I just hear music?
No, the campground.
Oh. But she wanted to make a house.
And then there was a horn.
For special needs children and stuff. But then, so it's her and her husband, and then their son, who shortly into the movie you find out that the son is actually adopted in the first place. But then, like, her and the kid, like, they wander down to, like, the water one day and, like, check out the caves and stuff like that, like, because, like, down by the beach and stuff, there's these caves when, like, when the low tide is down, the tide is low, I mean, they can look and explore these caves, and he's like, oh, I've met a friend here. And she's like, okay, yeah, you and your imaginary friends. Takes him back to the house, and then he's like, hey, like, and then he's, like, just obsessed with his friend for a little bit. He's like, Mom, I want to show you this. I want to show you where he lives. And she's like, "Not stop it right now, because they are having this like big party to like welcome people to the house and stuff like that." And the kid just gets pissed off. And then she's like, next thing she knows, she's like, "Wait, where is my son?" And then she's searching for him and can't find him. But the thing is, he has AIDS. So she's like, he needs his medication, otherwise like bad shit will happen. So he's, like, missing for, like, months at this point. And she's, like, trying to figure out, like, where he went, what happened to him. She thinks that she saw him, like, because she ran at one point, she ran down to the beach to see if he, like, maybe went down to the cave. And she saw a kid in there. And, like, they searched, like, no one's down here. So then she, like, has to, like, use all these clues. And, like, she, like, starts digging up, like, finding out what happened.
Oh, there he is. I'm, like, I heard him jump on the couch.
Like, in the past and stuff like that. So, like, she's, like, finding out all these, like, sort of things. And also, there's, like, a woman who, like, just appeared at their house and keeps saying, like, I know about your son. And, like, what the fuck's happening? But, yeah, it's... I said a lot about the movie, but there's, like, a lot of, like, where she's, like, digging up stuff and information. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is intriguing. This is cool. This is interesting. But it has a moment in the movie where I'm just like, fuck you, movie. Like, I just got so mad because I'm like, you made me feel. No. But it's a really well done movie. I gave it a 9.
Nice.
So that's one of those movies actually I picked up from like Hollywood Video like fucking 8 years ago. And I just finally watched it now. So yeah, I liked it a lot. Good job, Guillermo. You pick up good movies.
He makes the movies good.
I have 2 left.
I have 1.
All right. I'll go one more than you. The next movie I watched...
And the movie I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to spoil a different movie.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to do it last.
Okay. So the next movie I watched on my list was Mulholland Drive. David Lynch movie. Now, this is one of those movies that I want to watch with somebody because I don't know what the fuck is happening. But it's so good. Oh, I actually have a quote. But I'm going to pull it up. But, so the movie starts where this woman is, like, being driven. This actress is being driven from like, a Hollywood party to, like, another Hollywood party.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
And then she, as she's, like, they're driving, they stop. And, like, then the driver turns around and, like, has a gun on her, like, they're gonna shoot her, but then they end up getting a car accident, like, a car's, like, fucking heads, like, hits them head-on, and she escapes. She ends up, like, crawling into this house, and she has no memory of what's happening. So then, in the meantime, this girl who's, like, fresh, like, and then the Naomi Watts' character, this is before she did The Ring, she comes in, like, because her aunt is out of town. So she's borrowing her aunt's place so she can, like, get started in L.A. and acting and stuff like that. And so she finds the woman in her aunt's house, and she's like, well, don't worry, I'll help you figure out who you are. There's a lot of, that's, like, the main plot of the movie. But then there's a whole lot of other side plots where there's, like, this, like, sort of underground, like, mafia-type people who are... like demanding that this director hires a specific actress for their movie. He's like, there's no, like, we're not negotiating. That you have to pick her. You have to do this, this, this. Go to this person and say, that's the girl, and stuff like that. And, like, there's a, like, god damn it. But then, within, like, this is like a 2.5 hour long movie. So you're watching all this stuff, and then in the last 20 minutes of the movie, it just takes you on a fucking, like, it, like, sideswipes you and goes, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to do this now. And then you're like, wait, what the fuck is happening? The whole time you're watching the movie, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And they go, we're just going to mix it up now. And, like, and the thing is, I guess even even in interviews, David Lynch admitted saying, yeah, when I put this in the movie, I didn't know what it meant. It's a symbol, but I don't know what it's a symbol for. He's like, and this stuff, and, like, so whenever people say, oh, yeah, is it true that, like, this and this means this? He's like, interesting. Like, he's just being a fucking David Lynch dick, but he's amazing at it. Like, just, like, god damn it, the guy's, I gotta watch more of his stuff, because he's fucking genius. But, Roger Ebert loved this movie. And, like I said, it's hard to even describe what it's about, but, like, when you're watching a movie, like, it, whether you understand it or not, the, like, the acting and, like, the camera shots and the music and everything that's put into the movie, if it feels good, that's all that matters, I guess. Because, like, that's what this movie is. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's happening, but it's very enjoyable the whole time. But Roger Ebert said this about the movie. He says, this is the movie to surrender yourself to. If you require logic, see something else. Mulholland Drive works directly on the emotions, like music. Individual scenes play well by themselves, as they do in Dreams, but they don't connect in a way that makes sense. Again, like Dreams. The way you know the movie's over is that it ends, and then you tell a friend, I saw the weirdest movie last night. Just like you tell them you had the weirdest dream. But it's fucking whacked out, and it's so good. But, like, at the, like, even though, like, at the end of the movie, you're like, I don't know what's happening, certain characters, like, you just feel fucking so bad for. Like, and, like, you, it's, I gave it an 8.5. It's a good flick. Flick. And then I have one left.
Yeah, go ahead.
This one was lent to me by Eric at work. Picnic at Hanging Rock, because we were talking about a Stephen King book about a mystery that was never solved. He's like, here, check out this movie.
It's based on a true story?
No, it's not. But a lot of people think it is.
It's like Blair Witch.
Yes. It's based on a book. Because there's this place in Australia. It's like a park. It's like the Hanging Rock Park, whatever. And I guess there's a plaque there in like remembrance of people from the book. Because people are like, no, this isn't a real story. It's just a story. Like, but anyways, the story of the movie is, there's this old girls' school, and, they're like, all right, you guys, today's your field trip day. You can go, they take, it takes place like in like 1900. And they're like, hey, you know, you can take a carriage and a horse and buggy, and we're gonna go to the park, and we'll sit there and rest, and like, you can do your homework in there. It's a little field trip. And then at one point, like, oh, just be careful, don't wander away. There's lots of poisonous animals there, because it's Australia. And don't get lost, because there's rocks and everything. Like, we don't want you to fall off and get hurt. So a bunch of girls, four of the girls, like, wander off. And then, Pat, Jesus. But at one point, the girls kind of wander off, and they just fall asleep. And then at one point, a girl wakes up, and she's like, she's calling for the girls, and then she like runs behind a rock and then screams. You're like, what the fuck is happening? And then the next thing you know, you see like everyone going back to the schoolhouse, and it's nighttime. You're like, where have you been? You should have been home like before nightfall. And they're like, people are missing. I'm like, what do you mean people are missing? A couple of the students and one of the teachers are missing. Like, where? We don't know. So they haven't been found? No. So, like, a bunch of the movie is, like, them going back to the rocks and, like, and trying to find them. And at one point, they actually do find one of the girls sitting, like, right in the open. Like, she should have been... They should have noticed that she was there. But, like, things were different. Like, her shoes are missing or something like that. And there's, like... And it gets very fucking weird. Like, it's a kind of a slow movie. But it's just, like... I don't know where you're going with this movie. And I was, like, reading reviews and stuff. And people were like, oh, it was actually, like... It's meant to be a metaphor of... Because it's like takes place in 1900, it's supposed to be a metaphor of the British leaving and getting weeded out of Australia and stuff like this. I'm like, what the fuck are you people talking about? But it was kind of interesting because it's like, and then of course at the end you don't find out what happens to them at all. So it's like, what happened to them? We don't know. They disappeared. Where are they? We don't know. Any ideas on what happened at all? Nope. All right, end of movie. So I gave it a 5.5 because I don't fucking know what the hell is happening. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I watched 59 movies on my list. I had 60.
Oh, which one didn't you watch?
I did not watch A Tale of Two Sisters because the DVD that I popped in basically a week before end of the year didn't work. So,
was that one you bought?
No.
Oh.
No. It was a one I borrowed from the library.
Okay. Okay, so the last movie I watched of 2016 was Suicide Squad. I don't know. This movie takes place after Batman versus Superman. So... I don't know if I should reveal the end of Batman Superman.
I don't even know if there was a specific end to it.
So if you haven't seen Batman Superman, or you don't care to see it, I'm going to spoil it. Superman dies at the end of Batman Superman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I forgot that happened.
Yeah, so Doomsday kills Superman at the end of Batman Superman. If you read the comics... That's what you would have expected to happen when he battled Doomsday. But anyway, after the events of that incident with Doomsday on the loose and Superman barely stopping him, the government decides to, we should have our own set of superheroes that we can use to stop something like that from happening again. So... which is funny because then everyone rips on like what Batman is that good enough or Wonder Woman for that matter. But anyway, there is a bunch of supervillains in prison that have superpowers and they're very good at killing and doing stuff like that. And Amanda Waller, who is in charge of I'm trying to remember what it was called. Project X is not right, but it's something like that.
I was going to say probably
but they refer to it as the Suicide Squad, but there's a specific name for it. But anyway, Amanda Waller wants to get a bunch of these really good villains to work for them. This way, if something goes wrong, they can pretend that they weren't working for them. they're basically...
Task Force X.
Task Force X. I knew it had an X in it. So they want to get a bunch of villains to do missions for them. And this way, if something happens, they can just disown it and pretend it's not they had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And also, they don't put people they care about into dangerous way. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out how much of this I want to give away in the movie. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't like this movie anyway. So there's a bunch of people... In this, there's Harley Quinn, who was the doctor for Joker and went crazy and fell in love with him. And the Joker, aside from being inspiration for Harley Quinn, had no purpose in the movie. All these people didn't volunteer to be a part of this group. They're kind of like forced into it. And they have implants in their neck, so if they don't like it, they'll just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And... Harley Quinn is in love with Joker, and Joker will help her escape So he's going to disarm her neck bomb and let her free. So that's Joker's purpose. He's not on the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith is kind of the main character who plays Deadshot because he wants to get back to his family and stuff like that, but he can't because he's in prison. And then there's Boomerang. Throws Boomerang.
Captain Boring.
Captain Boomerang. Crocodile.
Crocodile?
Killer Croc. Killer Croc. But anyway... there is this one character called the Enchantress who was an archaeologist who found the statue and accidentally broke it, and a spirit came out and possessed her. So she's like taken control by this witch. So she's the Enchantress. Anyway, long story short, she's kind of the villain of this movie.
Oh, shit.
The archaeologist... I'm trying to remember, the guy who's in charge of the Task Force X, his name's Trevor or something. His character is in love with the archaeologist who is possessed by the Enchantress, so he wants to save her. And then the Enchantress resurrects her dead brother, who's like technically the real villain of the movie, and the Task Force X has to go on a suicide mission to stop them.
Oh, it's Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's why called the Suicide Squad. the plot is very rough. They do a bio of almost every character. I say almost because they do all these bios, and all of a sudden the mission starts, and then two new people show up. You're like, what the fuck? And Katana was one of them. So then they just go, oh, yeah, she has a sword that when she kills people, the souls of their victims go into the sword. So, and then there's this other guy called Slipknot, who I had no idea who he was. And he basically is just set up to be a joke in the movie.
Just like the band. Just kidding.
Yeah. I thought it was a decent movie. I was expecting it to be a total piece of shit. If you didn't like Batman, Superman, or Man of Steel, you probably will not like this movie. If you like those two, there's a small chance that you might not like this either. It's a very action-packed movie. Plot is very loose. I don't want to say a lot of one-liners, but there's a lot of...
Two-liners.
Harley Quinn, I thought... was it Maggie?
Margot Robbie.
I think she did a good job. Margot.
It's supposed to pronounce Margot.
Margot Ruby.
Robbie.
She did a good job. I think all the characters did a really good job with the characters. I didn't fully understand the Joker, but I guess a lot of people didn't. And I heard they added more scenes of him after the teaser showing a picture of what he looked like, then they're like, oh shit, we should probably put the Joker in this more. I mean, they did a lot of last minute changes in this movie because Batman Superman didn't do well.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious because they got the extended version, which I'll watch eventually.
All my friends are heathens.
Yeah, the soundtrack was just in your face.
Was it jarring?
It was...
You're like
you know every song that plays, and you're just like, wow. They probably spent a good chunk of money just for the soundtrack, and they hope that the soundtrack sold or something. But yeah, it is very in your face, and sometimes it is jarring. Sometimes it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm just like saying jarring because like you're like watching this, and it just pulls you out of the movie. Like, oh yeah, that song.
Well, there's like a part where it's like the story's going, all of a sudden the music starts, and then the fucking helicopter comes rushing in and stuff. I gave it an 8.
Okay, well,
it's not. It's like I said, it was a lot better than I thought. Looking back, it doesn't seem like much of a movie, but while I was watching it, I was enjoying it. Most people I know that saw this said they didn't like it, or it was okay. Not many people were amazed by it, but to me, I bought it without seeing it, and I do not regret buying it. So if that says anything, But if you are listening to this and are interested in watching it, I can lend it to you. So you don't have to spend any money and probably not like the movie, because I have a feeling a lot of people won't like this movie. But I liked it. I gave it an 8.
All right.
And that's, oh. I think that's it for the year, right?
Yeah, that's it for the year. But the best movie, the movies that I watched.
Oh, yeah, this month.
The movies I watched on my list this month were Ichi the Killer with a 6, Devil's Backbone with 8.5, Orphanage 9, Mulholland Drive 8.5.
So the worst movie I watched this month was Car Wash. And the best one, Car Wash with a 4. And the best one was Gremlins with a 9.
The best one I watched was Gremlins with a 9.5. And the worst was Picnic at Hanging Rock at 5.5. Two of the three movies that I wasn't supposed to watch was a top and bottom.
Well, the bottom one was on my list. So hopefully next year I won't have as many rock bottom.
It's
my own fault.
That's it for December 2016. If you want to write me an email saying, hey, we watched this movie, didn't watch this movie, these are our thoughts on the movies, et cetera, et cetera. Write me to me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Other than that,
that's a wrap.
Also, stay tuned for the 2016 review.
That's not on this podcast.
Not on this one, next one. Do 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 do